Grab your Bibles tonight if you'll open them up to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We started a series of messages last week on the coming judgments. If you remember, we looked at the judgment of the nations out of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 46. If you remember, the scene that we come to in that passage is our King Jesus, and he's gloriously sitting on his throne in that valley of decision there in Jerusalem. He has all the nations that are still living after the tribulation, all the people, both the saved and the lost, there at that valley of decisions that he's called unto himself to be judged. And then we consider the judgments, the righteous or the sheep, they're placed on his right side, the side of honor, the side that you want to be on, and they are given eternal life where they entered into the millennial kingdom to reign with Christ for that 1,000-year reign. We see the unrighteous, the goats, they are judged and they are vaporized on the spot, enter into their holding place until the great white throne judgment where they will be eternally cast into the lake of fire, a sobering judgment, serious, and we must not take it lightly. So tonight we'll look at the second judgment in our series, and we find that in Revelation 20, the main passage is going to be verses 7 through 10, but we will start reading in verse 1 to get the context of the passage. Revelation 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then verse 7, the start of our main text for the night. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." We're looking at the judgment of Satan and the demons tonight. Bow with me as we pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we again come to you and we are so very thankful. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for a church of like-minded Christians, Lord, that have come together tonight not to honor ourselves, but we have came together to honor you. And Father, we're going to do that now by the faithful preaching and applying and hearing and interpreting of your word. Lord, we love you so much. And we are so grateful for your Son. We are so grateful for your Spirit who you sent to indwell inside of us. Lord, that helps us to study your word. Lord, it's in his name we pray. Amen. The judgment of Satan and demons. You know, it's always good to know the end. It's always good to know the end of a war which you are fighting. I'm talking about the end outcome, whether it's going to be victorious or whether it's going to be one of defeat. And I'm here to tell you the war that we are fighting, the war that we see here in this passage in Revelation 20, it is a victorious defeat of Satan. It is a victorious defeat of the demons. They are the losers. They are the underdogs. They are the accused, and they will pay for the sins that they have committed against our holy God. I thought it would be good to just go through the events of the last times. It shouldn't take no more than 3 or 4 minutes, but it's good to think about our eschatology. It's good to know what happens in the end. All Christians should have some type of an idea of what happens in the end. And I believe that we are to get that idea from studying it in the Bible ourselves. This is our main source. I told the students that this morning, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 year olds, the Bible is your source for information. And we must teach them that from the very early age. And if we don't continually go to the scriptures for our sources of information, we will be confused and we will follow many rabbit trails that will lead us into many deep holes, especially in the realm of eschatology and the end time events. God is a God of order, and you can go through the entire book of Revelation. You can go to 2 Thessalonians. You can go to Matthew. You can go to all these different places, and he has put into order an orderly judgment for the end times. There's many different phrases throughout the book of Revelation. Just look at chapter 20. Look at the transitional phrases. He says in verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." Look at verse 4, "And I saw thrones." That's another transitional phrase. And then go down to verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years were expired." How could you not get 1,000 years out of that? When that 1,000 years is over, this is going to happen next. Satan will be loosed and out of his prison. God's a God of order. And we can literally read the Bible and we can get to the literal meaning. So let's talk about the end times. The end times will begin, we're in the last days now, but I'm talking about the 7 years of tribulation. We'll begin with the rapture of the church. And we believe that the church will be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation begin. On that day, the dead in Christ, they will rise. They will rise first. And those that remain, they will be called up into the air to meet our Lord and Savior. There will be 144,000 Jews that will be left here to share the gospel during these 7 years of tribulation. And this rapture sets into motion that 7 years. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, they will be 3.5 years of peace. During this time, the Antichrist, he will rise to power. Everything will be okay. But during the second 3.5 years of tribulation, what we call the Great Tribulation, God will start pouring out his wrath upon the earth. Seals of judgments will be open. It will be bad. All the inhabitants on the earth will start to be judged by God's saints. They won't be martyred by God, but they will be martyred by the inhabitants on the earth. And during these 7 years of this tribulation, 3.5 years of peace, 3.5 years of great tribulation, great distress, great war, during those 7 years, Revelation 7:9 tells us that there will be a great multitude, a multitude that no one can count, that will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they will do this by those 144,000 Jews that will left to share the gospel. They will do this by the two witnesses that we see in the book of Revelation that will share the gospel and perform many signs and wonders. And the book of Revelation even speaks of angels that will fly to and fro proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Through all of this, many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. These will be people that are either born during the 7 years of tribulation or those who have not rejected the gospel prior to the 7 year start of the tribulation. At the end of those 7 years, we will have what we know, the battle of Armageddon. The whole world will come against Israel. They will be led by the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan and the demons. And Christ will effortlessly win this battle. He will not struggle. He will not have to fight. He will speak a word and the battle will be over. The Antichrist and false prophets, these are human beings, by the way, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Satan and all his demons, they will be thrown into the pit, into the abyss, the spiritual holding place of torment that we see in the first three verses of Revelation chapter 20. After those that battle the Armageddon, Daniel speaks of 75 days. This is those 75 days that is preparing for the judgment of the nations that we studied about last week. The judgment of those that have survived those 7 years of tribulation. Because not everybody will be wiped out. We see the sheep. We've talked about the sheep being judged and entering into the millennial reign of Christ. Well, they will reign with him for those 1,000 years. The goats, they will be vaporized on the spot before the millennial kingdom. We see that kingdom in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. This is Christ's 1,000-year reign on the earth, and it begins with only the saved. Only the saved will enter into this millennial kingdom. Those that are saved during the tribulation period, those Christians that were martyred during the tribulation period, and all those who have been saved pre-tribulation, the resurrected dead, and those called up into the air will rule with Christ. But those that were saved during the tribulation period, they will take with them into the millennial kingdom that sin nature. And that's where we will pick up our message tonight. At the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be loosed from the pit and he will gather together, as we will see through the passage tonight, those Christ rejecting, because there will be reproduction occurring in those saints that are saved during tribulation. He will gather together that offspring that rejects Christ from those tribulation saints. He will gather them together from the face of the earth. They will come to Jerusalem and get ready for the last battle that will ever occur here on the face of the earth that we see in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 20. We will see that God will send fire again. This is an effortless battle, an effortless, God has to give no effort to win this battle, as we will see. And then we will see the final judgment of the devil and his demons. So let's start to look at that judgment here tonight. This is the judgment of the devil and his demons arraying in battle against Christ, who has set up reign in Jerusalem with the saints. So let's first consider The scene. Here again, just like with the judgment of the nations, we must paint the scene of what is going on in this passage in Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. We're going to look at the judge, the judged, the location, and the time. So let's first consider the judge. Look back to verse 9 of Revelation 20. It says, "And they went up the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down, if you've got a King James Version, from God out of heaven and devoured him. Now, if you got a New American Standard, I think maybe the ESV simply says fire came down out of heaven or from heaven. God is left out of that. But God here is the one that is executing this judgment, is why the translators put God into the KJV. This fire comes from heaven. And we know this because the phrase out of heaven is used in the scriptures to describe the eternal abode of God. And this is an all-consuming judgment fire that is from this above, this abode from above. So God is the judge here. Then the judge. Look back to verse 7 and 8 of our text. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So we have one big group of people and one leader who is mentioned, and then there's another group that is implied. The leader is Satan himself. It is Satan who has been loosed out of prison, as our text says. It is Satan who goes out to deceive the nations. Now, the Greek word used for nations, as was used in Matthew chapter 25 that we looked at last week, is ethnos. So we're talking about all ethnicities of all nations. This is all people, all races, all whatever you want to call it. This is everybody that has rejected Christ in the millennial reign. And the devil has went, Satan has went, and his demon has had gathered them together. This is no small number. If you look at the end of verse 8, it says, the number of whom is as the sand of the seas. They are from the four quarters of the earth. If you can imagine a compass, this is people from north, south, east, and west. This is people from everywhere, from all ends of the earth. And these Christ-rejecting offspring, these are Christ-rejecting offspring of the Christ-believing Christians that have entered into the millennial kingdom after the tribulation period. So these people will be gathered together by the Father of lies, and he will ready them for battle. Battle against Christ. Battling against the believers that are with Christ in the millennial kingdom located in Jerusalem. Now, the last group I mentioned, I said that they were implied to be at this judgment, and they are the demons. The demons, we think they too will be there because Satan, because they will be released with Satan, because they were cast into the pit with him in the first place. Both the demons and Satan were cast into the pit with him. If you remember in the book of Luke, it was this pit that the demons dreaded. They feared. This pit is the holding place of torment for the evil forces of darkness. The judgment of them is mentioned several other places, which we have the demons and Satan being cast together in the lake of fire, which leads us to believe that the demons will be released with the devil to gather the forces to fight Christ and his people in the final battle at the end of the millennial reign. Listen to just a few verses. I believe we'll have these up on the overhead. That speaks of these angels or the demons that we're speaking of. Matthew 25 and verse 1 says, this is Christ speaking, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. His angels is speaking of the demons. They were speaking of the devil and the demons. They're mentioned together. 2 Peter verse 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2 verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Again, the fallen angels, the angels here, they're the fallen angels. These are the demons, and they have been cast down into chains of darkness, which is a spiritual prison prepared for them to await this final judgment. Jude, in verse 6, spoke of this. It says that the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Again, the angels are those demons who rebelled against God along with the devil in heaven, and they have been put in chains under darkness awaiting judgment. So the judge that we're looking at are the devil, the demons, and those who have rejected Christ in the millennial kingdom. So the scene, we see the judge, now the location. This judgment will occur on the spot at the location of the final battle. Look back to Revelation chapter 20 in verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured him. Now that phrase, the camp of the saints, is really a military term dating all the way back to the Romans. Camp speaks of a Roman military barracks fortified for protection. So the saints, they will all be gathered together in a military-style barracks fortified, listen to this, with the protection of the very Lamb of God. And this will be located in the beloved city of Jerusalem. Because any time that we see that phrase, the beloved city, we are speaking of Jerusalem. So the location of this judgment will be according to the language of verse 9, somewhere right outside of Jerusalem, somewhere right outside of this fortified military style barracks that is protected by the very Lamb of God. So Satan, the demons, and the unregenerate, they will try to attack these fortified barracks with no prevail, because they will be consumed with fire from heaven. So the location of this judgment of Satan and the demons will be right at or right around Jerusalem. What about the time? The time of this judgment, it is made crystal clear by John. I will never understand those that deny the millennial reign of Christ. You can't get much clearer than the language of chapter 20 that we see. The time of this judgment made clear, first of all, in verse 7. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired. So this judgment will be after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The devil and his demons, they will be released from prison, as we have spoken of earlier. They will gather together their army from the earth. They will attack, and they will be executed by this consuming fire sent by God. The time, it's right after the millennial reign of Christ. So we've painted the scene. What about the judgment? What about the judgment? Look back to verses 9 and 10. I'd like to read through both of these verses and then point out two specific aspects, and we'll break those down a little further. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Two aspects I think we can glean from these two verses. There's an initial judgment, and there is an eternal judgment. So first of all, this initial judgment, this is the on-the-spot judgment that we see. If you look back to verse 9, John says that fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. This is that initial, on-the-spot, undeniable judgment. Fire comes down from God and devours them. So if you think about this judgment, it was, first of all, a supernatural judgment. A supernatural judgment. This judgment was from God out of heaven. It was not from earth to heaven or from earth to earth, sort of like North Korea likes to do with their missiles trying to place fear inside of everyone. This is a judgment that was from God to the earth. It's sourced from God. It's a supernatural judgment. And then secondly, this initial judgment was an effortless judgment. Don't get the picture. We must not get the picture in our minds of God doing any work on his part. He will not have to strain when he sends his fire. He will not have to sneak around before he executes this judgment. He will not have to try to hide his ammunition or hide his weapons. He will not have to phone a friend or ask for help from NATO countries to come to his aid. He will send fire from his heaven, how he wants to do it, when he desires to do it, to whom he chooses to send it, and on what date he has picked to do it on. It is 100% effortless on God's part. This judgment will be a supernatural, effortless judgment. Thirdly, this initial judgment, it will be an all-consuming judgment. Remember, we're still speaking of these initial aspects. John says at the end of verse 9 that this fire is sent from God, it's sourced from heaven, and that it devoured them. Now that word devoured comes from the Greek word katestheo, and it means to utterly consume, to utterly destroy something. We're not talking about simply wounding someone in a conflict here that leads to death. This is a vaporizing on the spot that leaves nothing. If you look at what we call the parsing of this verb, and we do that with Greek verbs when we study, you're breaking the verb down. If you look at the parsing of the verb devoured, what you will find is it's written in the aorist tense, in the indicative mood, in the active voice. What does that mean? This means that this devouring is a one-time action of complete consumption by fire that was actively sent by God. So God, who spoke the world into existence with no effort, will utterly consume those that try to attack his son and his people in his nation effortlessly. This judgment is a supernatural, effortless, and all-consuming judgment. That's the initial part of this judgment. And now we see the eternal part of the judgment, the eternal judgment. Look back to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So after the initial physical judgment of being consumed by fire from heaven, the devil and demons will immediately enter into their eternal judgment. This is the same place of judgment that the beast or the antichrist and the false prophet have been experiencing torment in for 1,000 years. They were thrown alive into the lake of fire back in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20 after the battle of Armageddon. So the devil and the demons, after they have been physically consumed by fire, will be cast into hell with the other two humans, which are the antichrist and the false prophets that have already been there for 1,000 years. Friends, hell, it's a place of torment. And that word used for torment, it literally means to vex with grievous pains of both the body and the mind. This is a terrible punishment. If you go and parse that verb, it's one word in the Greek, but it's three words in the English, shall be tormented. If you parse that verb, what you will find, it's written in the future tense. This is a future punishment. This will happen in the future. It's written in the indicative mood, which means this is a statement of fact. This torment in hell will happen no matter what. It's a fact. And lastly, it is written in the passive voice. And what that means is that the subject, which in this context, which is the devil, the demon, the beast, and the false prophets, they are being acted upon, in this case it's torment, by an outside force. Friends, we as a world in general, we have painted a picture of hell as devil ruling the place with some weird looking pitchfork and horns on his head, and he's all red and there's flames of fire coming out of his head, sometimes out of this pitchfork. That's simply not true. And this passage proves that the devil himself is being tormented by an outside force. And what is that source? It's God. God, listen to some of these verses. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22 verse 13.